And take your Bibles, turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 12. Revelation 12, lesson number 25, the aggression of the dragon. We also have lesson 26 available, the arrival of the child. So if you need either of these lessons, 25 or 26, Brother Collins is heading down the middle aisle. Raise your hand if you need either of these, 25 or 26. All right, looks like everybody's has those. Hope Phyllis needs them. All right. All right, very good. Brother Collins taking care of things. Right up here, Brother Collins. Well. All right. Lesson 25, memory verse, Revelation 12:9, and we will finish lesson 25 today. I am very confident of that. So this will be the last time we'll say this. Let's go ahead and say it together. We'll say the reference, the verse, and then the reference, and begin. Revelation 12:9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Revelation 12:9. And let's say it again. Revelation 12:9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Revelation 12:9. Father, we do thank you that the devil is defeated, and we know that you have total control of everything going on, including him. And you have control of our time, of our economy, of our government situations, and just all the things that are going on right now. We know, God, that you're in control. And I pray that you help us to trust you. And I pray that you'll use the scripture today to guide us into truth, but also to give us assurance of that power that is God's power and the control that is God's control. Please bless now as we study your word, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. And so we continue with section 5 covering Revelation chapters 12 and 13. And we're talking about the appearance of seven key characters. And, of course, the dragon is one of those key characters. And, again, this is not trying to get a timeline here with Revelation 12 and 13. It's just really explaining these seven key characters in the scripture. Number one, we looked at the wonder of the dragon. And, obviously, the Bible's clear identifying the dragon. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, very clear who the dragon is. And so we talked about that several weeks ago, the wonder of the dragon. Then number two, the war with the dragon. And this spiritual war has been going on for years and years and years. And it will not end, of course, until God ends it. And God's told us all of that, tells us how that's all going to happen. But it goes on, and it continues to go on. It's going on right now. It goes on as little kids are trying to get up and get on the bus. It goes on as adults are trying to get up and come to church. It goes on. The battle rages, and it is a spiritual battle. It is not a flesh and blood battle, though those go on as well. But this battle is a battle that is an invisible war. And so the war with the dragon, that battle has been going on between the demons and the angels and all of that. And of course, we come to Roman numeral 3, the woe from the dragon. And when the dragon is cast out of heaven, of course, we know that Satan has been allowed to go before the throne of God, and he's been the accuser. And God has, we see that very clearly in the book of Job. We don't totally understand all it. We just know Satan tempts us. And then when we sin, he accuses us. It just seems like we might figure out one of these days that we're getting the bad end of the deal whenever we give in to his temptation. But anyway, we know that goes on. We know that God, with Job anyway, said, consider my servant Job. And it was like God was saying, really, he was wanting to brag on one of his servants and basically opened the door for Satan to tempt Job. And as I explained to our teens last Sunday evening in the teen meeting, what is a temptation that the devil throws at the Christian is a test that God allows so that he can see where we are, how we've grown. And there is no learning process complete without a test. You remember school? Amen. And you used to have to you'd learn and learn and learn, maybe chapter one. Then you take a test to see if you really learned chapter one. Well, it seems that God does the same type of thing. The key thing is that nothing ever will come into our lives we're not prepared for. We can handle anything that is clear in Scripture. We can pass the test. And therefore, we don't have to give in to the temptation. Now we do. Often we fail. Often we get a great big red F and a frowny face on our paper because we blew it. And yet, you know, God will see that. We'll see a test again over that chapter. But I do love the fact that God set the parameters as far as the test and the temptation as far as what Satan could do, and God always, he says, okay, here's what you can do. You can do this. Can't do that. I'll let you. You can anything from fourth grade down, they can handle. You can't get into the fifth grade file yet, and I love that, and that's always going to be true. So Satan has been able to do that, but one of these days he's going to be cast out of heaven. And the Bible says then he'll be cast onto the earth. I believe this is at the middle of the tribulation time after the first 3.5 years. Again, timelines are always difficult in the book of Revelation, but that's kind of the way I think that takes place. And so the Bible says, woe, therefore rejoice heaven, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath. And you know, he's upset. He's not happy. He's constantly been fighting against God and wanting to take the throne of God, as the Bible says, and all of that. But Obviously, when he comes down to the earth, it is a woeful time for the earth. And then we came last week to Roman number 4, the wrath of the dragon. And the Bible says he has great wrath. And talked about several things that would provoke him because it's the anger, I think, of a caged animal. And we talked about how he is limited with his space. Now he's on earth. So he doesn't have all the room that he had before. He can't just come and go as he did before. He's limited with time. The Bible says his time is short. And again, all of these things are like poking him with a stick. And he's limited in his power. And constantly, the Lord delivers his people. Verse 14, to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle. So he attacks the woman, as we talked about, spiritual Israel. And that she can fly into the wilderness. And then also in verse 16, when he sends his flood, which we'll talk about, the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood. And again, he gets madder and madder and madder as his efforts are thwarted. I do want to remind you that every time we do right, every time God delivers us, every time God helps us, you know, it just makes the devil that much madder. And, as we watch him, as far as a future prophecy, if you will, of his anger toward Israel, of his anger toward God's people, of his anger toward God, understand that's exactly what, he is not happy with Berean Baptist Church. He's not happy with our Vacation Bible School where over 50 young people got saved. He's not happy with our fair ministry where 200 and some people trusted Christ as their Savior. He's not happy with our soul winning. He's not happy with our bus ministry. He's not happy with our altar call. He's not happy. I mean, he's mad every time somebody gets right with God. He loves it when people are fighting with each other. He loves it when people are discouraged. He loves it when people are, you know, depressed and can't figure it out. I got a text from somebody today who's just having a real tough time early this morning, 1 o'clock actually, and Satan just laughs when he has us backed into a corner and you know we're in trouble and all that. But understand when we get victory and we do have victory. That's why I like the song Victory in Jesus, because we do, you know, we are the overcomers. We do overcome, and it just infuriates him. It just really infuriates him. Got a phone call the other night, pretty late, Wednesday night, I believe it was, after church. Maybe it was Sunday night. I don't know. Anyway, but when Holly called and she called and said, "Preacher, I trusted Jesus as my Savior tonight. And, you know, the devil just hates it. Oh, he just gets so upset. And, you know, because there's another soul that he can't have. Praise the Lord." And, you know, all the little kids. And I love the song, "Jesus Loves the Little Children." If we can get them in church and get them saved, get them baptized, get them growing in the Lord, you know, the devil can't have them. He's got a whole bunch of them. He's got a bunch of people, but praise the Lord for salvation. Anyway, so again, you know, he's cast out, and I personally think this is the catalyst which causes the breaking of the peace. I don't know that. That's a speculation. The breaking of the peace, the covenant made at the beginning of the tribulation, the covenant with Israel, you know, the Antichrist. Hey, you know, we're gonna work with you, and we're gonna let you do this, and we're gonna let you do that. Just those same old lies and same old things that Satan is the father of. I believe as he's cast out, I think that will break the covenant. His anger will do that, and he will persecute. Verse 13: When the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And I mean, wow, we talked about this earlier, how that all of history shows a hatred of Israel. I mean, just such a hatred, and a hatred of God's people. Doesn't make sense. It just makes no sense at all. And so here, you know, since it's been that way throughout history, obviously here now, as the devil acting as a caged animal, you know, he is more angry than ever, and probably the greatest persecution ever. Of course, we think of World War II, the Holocaust, and just hard to believe all that took place as far as the Jews are concerned, and yet this will even be worse than that as to the persecution and hatred of God's people. And it just, you know, it is just, it should stand out to all of us as we study history. Little old Israel, you know, little old Israel in their strategic location, piddly little Israel, and everybody absolutely over the years just has hated them, hates them today. It's surrounded by people that hate them, that wish they were dead, they were wiped off the map, and there they are, just, you know, God just keeps blessing them and taking care of them, and it's just amazing. So, verse 15, in his anger, verse 14, to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she's nourished for a time and times and half a time for the face of the serpent. Again, there's that 3.5 years, time, 1 year, times, 2 years, half a time, so 2 plus 1 is 3, plus a half, 3.5 years. Again, this is why I think this is one of a catalyst to stop that peace that he has given. And now the attack on Israel is very, very strong for the last half of the tribulation, and he's so angry. But notice again, God gives his people. He gives them wings. Again, this is, I believe, figurative, but they're free. Somehow, God opens the door, but God always can open doors. How did he get his people out of Egypt? Amen. I mean, God delivered his people from Egypt. God has delivered me from all kinds of things. And one of the biggest things is when he delivers me from me. Amen. I mean, it's one of the greatest things in the world. And God always makes a way to escape. And so God's people get away. And that angers the serpent more. Verse 15, the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. He is so angry. Now again, what is this flood? You know, could be a flood. Could be a water. Could be. I don't know. Some commentators suggest some sort of a military, you know, a great army. Certainly, Islam is poised, surrounding Israel, ready to strike at any time. Could be, very easily. Luke 21 is often referred to, so go ahead and write that down or look at it. Luke chapter 21, this could certainly be a description of this flood. Luke 21 and verse 20, and when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out. And let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto, for these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. They shall fall by the edge of the sword, shall be led away captive into all nations. Jerusalem shall be trodden down to the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Again, this flood, is it Islam? Is it, you know, we again, all you can do is speculate, because we don't know when that's going to, could be another 1,000 years. I don't think it's going to be 1,000 years, but it could be. We don't know. But it is a flood. A flood, again, could be a military attack, could be a flood simply referring to a flood of persecution. You have to understand that the Antichrist is very strong, obviously, at this time. And his false prophet, we're going to meet them here in the next few weeks and spend some time talking about that. Again, let's keep in mind that more than likely, and as you start thinking about prophecy, again, no predictions, no predictions. God said we don't know when that's going to be. The angels don't even have a clue. Only the Father knows. But if the rapture, tribulation, if that were all to start within the next 10 years, then you would have to think that the Antichrist already is doing something. He's prominent somewhere. He is a leader somewhere. He's involved somehow in leadership capacity. And again, As I start thinking about all of that, I think of the Antichrist and the false prophet. These are demonically inspired, satanically inspired, if you will, people used by the devil. They will be very powerful within so many years. You know, again, we don't know ages or any of that. But so is this a flood? This flood, is it persecution? Is it you know, whereby they can get the world to hate Israel? I mean, already. Keep an eye on the United States and Israel. Keep an eye on the news and the always interesting things, because you know, I'm so fearful of people saying, "Well, I saw it on the internet. It's got to be true." That ought to scare you to death. Honestly, I mean, it is, there are so many ways to spin things. It's just unbelievable. And Israel, of course, you know, in my mind, I see during the tribulation somehow them getting blamed for this, blamed for that, and to a point where the world hates Israel and the persecution is unbelievable. As far as that goes, it would, again, the only thing we can think of is the Holocaust as to a comparison, but I believe it'll be much, much worse. So again, a worldwide hatred of Jews, of Israel, and of God's people. And, you know, we get blamed for a lot of things already. All you have to do is just kind of watch. Even here in the United States of America, you know, guess whose fault it's going to be if Obamacare, if it doesn't work out? It's going to be the conservatives. Now, again, not all conservatives are saved people, but we are, you know, saved people should be very, very conservative. And it's going to be, you know, it's all our fault. Yeah, it's you people's fault. People are going to die and they're not going to get the medical treatment and et cetera, et cetera. I don't know. Again, these are some of the things that are going to happen and that are going to take place. Again, the dragon was wroth with the woman, verse 17. Why? Well, because the earth opened up her mouth, and swallowed up the flood. So somehow, God stopped this flood. Some way he protected his people, just like the two wings of a great eagle to fly away. You know, and some have said that that is the city called Petra. Again, we don't know that, but it is certainly a good place to speculate. The point is, God is going to protect them, and then he swallowed the earth. Opens up its mouth and swallows the flood. And again, we can imagine this flood of water and the earth just opening up and all the water going in and saves the people. Again, what that is, we don't know. But the point is, God protects his people from the wrath of the dragon. And I want you to understand, folks, that is not just in the future. That is today. God protects his people. Nothing is going to happen to you that God doesn't allow to happen. He can stop anything. Have you wondered why you haven't been killed from a tornado yet? Have you wondered why you haven't been killed from a fire yet? Have you wondered why you haven't died from somebody breaking into your home? I mean, you name it. There are all kinds of ways, but God, you have to believe God protects us. And he is going to protect them, but he protects us as well. And I believe that Satan, though, you know, there are many Christians today that actually, you know, I have heard people say, well, I just don't, the reason I don't do this could be getting involved with soul winning, could be getting involved in teaching Sunday school. Could you name any Christian thing in there? And I've heard people say, well, the reason I don't do that is it just makes the devil mad. And I'll be honest with you, you know, we do get weary. It is a wearisome battle that we fight, but no matter how mad the devil gets, God's going to protect us. And let's give God that opportunity. Let's just do whatever God wants us to do. And, you know, church after church after church, changing, going a different direction, because, you know, why should we be hated? Well, you know, truth is hated by lies. Error will always hate the truth. And so are we going to set aside truth so that we can be loved by everybody? Again, I'm not wanting to be hated. I'm just wanting to tell the truth. And that's what we have to do. And in our world today, again, you know, how has our government, how has our country become the way it is? Well, it's because people have said, I don't want to be thought of as one of these radical nuts. Well, you know what? Truth is more important than any of those things. And for the Christian, you know, God's gonna protect us. Just keep telling the truth. Just keep preaching truth. Keep speaking truth, and doing that which God wants us to do. We have to do that to be faithful to our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, he hung on a cross. And you talk about what he took. You talk about the wrath of Satan. You talk about the judgment of God the Father, because my sin was on him. And you know, what he took on the cross, surely we can stand for him. Again, we're not trying, I'm not trying to stir up the devil. Here's what stirs up the devil. The altar stirs up the devil. What stirs up the devil? The baptistry stirs up the devil. What stirs up the buses stir up the devil? I don't have to poke him. It pokes him every time someone calls upon Jesus to get saved. It pokes him every time the Bible's opened up and we don't compromise its words. It pokes him every time we take our stand. And again, you know, I wish everybody would just love us. But just during the tribulation, it is going to be so much worse than even today. So we come to lesson number 26, the arrival of the child, one of our seven key characters, of course, the child mentioned in Revelation 12. It is what Revelation is all about, the child, because I believe it is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. There are those that say that they believe the child is the church. And, you know, I definitely don't agree with that specifically, though we are the result of the Lord Jesus Christ. The man-child, I believe, is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Our memory verse, Revelation 12:5, "And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne." And, of course, right there is one of the reasons I don't believe it's talking about the church, because nowhere is the church going to rule all nations with a rod of iron. We are going to serve our Lord, who is the ruler. But anyway, that's a whole other subject. So, what time is it? Let's have our ushers go ahead and come, and we'll receive our offering. And I want to start on this. It's not a long lesson at all, but it is a. I almost called it a Christmas message. It's too bad it's not Christmas time. Because really, we're talking about the arrival of the child. And as we describe the woman in verse 1, "There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars," which we talked about. That was our first character. Spiritual Israel, we've talked about the hatred that has been true over the years because of being God's people. But really, more specifically, because of the child, the hatred. Go back to Genesis 3 and verse 15, and I'm just giving a little introduction here. Genesis 3 and verse 15, we started section 5, this study, the appearance of seven key characters with this. Genesis 3 and verse 15, and you know the story. Adam and Eve have sinned, and God says, "And I will put enmity," as he's talking to the serpent, talking to Satan, "and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And the prophecy here of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know, this is in Revelation, the reference being made to the birth of the child. Satan, of course, knew that there was going to be something, someone, somehow. He knew the Messiah would come, and so all through the Old Testament, you know, the travail that it talks about. Verse 2, "She being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered." All about that child going to be born. That child that was going to come. That Messiah that was going to come. The promise of God that a Messiah would come to deal with man's sin. Satan did all he could to stop it. And so, again, a reference, and I think a very graphic reference, and a very graphic part of the story of the birth of Jesus Christ, I think, is found here in Revelation chapter 12. And so I've broken it down into four different parts here. Number one, the description of the child, Revelation 12 and verse 2. Number two, the delivery of the child. And then number three, the destiny of the child. And number four, the departure of the child. And all of these things, again, is, you know, this is all kind of part of what we talk about with the Christmas story, but it's not the pretty part of the Christmas story. It's, you know, we always kind of like this, the shepherds are all excited and the beauty and the star and, you know, all these different things. And we like all that. And later on, the wise men come and all of that. But this is again, as we think about the hatred of Satan for God's people, and now specifically for the child. We come to verse 4, his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman. Now in my mind I picture this, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And so we'll get into that in a few weeks. And we'll get into all these different things. I don't want to go any further here at this time because I've run kind of out of time. So we'll let you out early.